Well, what's up, everybody? Week 10 preview show is among us, and no other than Sean Alvarez is the first one in the chat. Hey, friends, happy Breeders Cup Friday. Sean, this is a college football podcast and show. We'll leave the horses up to you. Hopefully, you pick some winners. Todd, Nick, Q, how's it going, fellas? Are y'all filled up on your kids' candy from Halloween last night?
Kids, what are you talking about?
Well,
taking a couple maybe weeks in a few years. Here
and there. Yeah.
Hey, I got a little breaking news. Mm-mm. Brandon Marcello tweets out, confirmed by 24/7 Sports, the SEC will begin penalizing coaches this week if it is determined that the player is faking an injury.
Talking to you, Ole Miss.
Cough. Ole Miss.
Yeah. It's crazy they're making these rules up like as we go. Like, yeah. I would have thought that would have been an off-season change, but now that's two rules that just, oh, next week we're going to start this. Sounds like
I feel like they talked about it several years back when it first started becoming an issue.
Well, the NFL started it, and then they nixed it immediately. And then college just had conversations and never did anything about it.
Well, did you see the one, too, like when Bama was playing Tennessee, and the coach literally pushed the player back on the field, and then he fell
over. Yeah.
That stuff has to be penalized or something.
Well, starting this.
Those leg cramps come from anywhere, you know.
Yeah. They need to take some acting classes. I know they have those. It's just the when they're standing there and all of a sudden you see get down, and
it doesn't even have to be a penalty. It can be something like if you go down, you can't come back in the rest of the drive or the quarter or something like that. It doesn't have to be a crazy penalty. It just has to be egregious.
They do the targeting, and I get the targeting. It's 15 yards, but I can't stand when they throw the kid out and then he can't play for like the first half of the next week. I mean, that has to change too. I mean, some of these kids are like bang, bang, and it could go either way. And then they're like, well, now he's out. Now he can't play the first quarter. I mean, come on now. What are we doing?
Yeah, Ohio State's middle linebacker got called for that one in the fourth quarter against Nebraska. They went to the Big Ten, I guess, commissioner or whatever on Monday and got it overturned. So now he can play in the first half this week. So it's a mess. Like, nobody really.
Georgia's missing a guy. They had a bye week last week, so it just carries over to the next playable week. One of their linebackers will be out for the first half of Florida. So it's kind of like a 2.5 week penalty almost.
I feel like that's a perfect segue. We'll get right into this one with Ole Miss and the fake injuries. Travel to Arkansas to take on the Razorbacks. Coming off a big offensive weekend for Taylen Green in that Arkansas offense. Pittman, we've talked about the ATS record, 21-10 is a dog. The home team has won the last five of these matchups. That number just keeps teetering back and forth from 7 to 7.5. I feel like it's pretty spot on. 8-1 to the under in SEC games for these two teams combined. Ole Miss, 7-1 to the under all season long. You think Ole Miss? I think offense, but it's actually been the defense has been more impressive. Q, I'm going to go to you. What are your leans in this one, or you want any part of it?
I'm going to watch it for sure. I think it'll be a good game. I kind of wish it was a night game. I think that would heavily favor Arkansas. If I had to put up money on this game, I would take, depending on what the line was, like I might wait to see if it gets back up to 7 and then play it. But if it didn't get up there, I wouldn't play it. I'm pulling Smitty special here. I think Arkansas is great in a teaser. I don't think Ole Miss can win by more than 10 points. So I'm probably going to stay away, but that's where I definitely lean. Is Lane Kiffin kind of checked out? Like the message boards for the past couple weeks have gone against him. You know, now you're going on the road. You have Florida trip coming up here in the next couple weeks. Like, this is just all speculation, but like, are you starting to think about that trip in a different way now? Like, you're already, you know, 2-loss team for all intents and purposes. You're out of the playoffs. So I think this is a spot where Arkansas needs to win and make some bowl eligible. I think at 6-3, you look a hell of a lot better than 5-4 in terms of Sam Pittman's job security, the way Bobby Petrino's coaching. This is a big, big ranked win if you'd say. So I think Arkansas really needs this win. It's just what Taylen Green shows up.
Ken says they need to watch the offensive players for targeting a running back. Can lower his head just as easy. I agree. I mean, a lot of these hits are so just – they're bang, bang. You're making a play on the ball, and all of a sudden the running back drops his head, and you run right into his head. I mean, that's football, man.
The one I don't like they call is the one where the player's dropping as, like, a linebacker or somebody's already initiated his, you know, height of where he's going to tackle. That one always gets me.
Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I've already played the under here, 53.5. I know Matt's on it as well. Kind of touched about it. Ole Miss's defense is real. I mean, this is the number one rush defense in the SEC. I think Arkansas last week was kind of just a flash in the pan. I mean, Mississippi State's just bad. Like, let's just be realistic. I think Arkansas will find their places to kind of score. And Ole Miss's offense is just not a normal Lane Kiffin offense. So I don't know what's really going on with Jackson Dart. Best receiver still out this week, I believe. So, yeah, I think we're looking at something like 24-20-ish in this one. So, yeah, I took the under.
Smitty.
Yeah, I'm going with you guys, too. The crown is behind me. The teaser king is out. I gave out one teaser last week. I haven't done a lot of teasers this year. Oh, I'm back. It's a good teaser card. I might give two or three this weekend, so check out my plays. But get the crown ready. I like this, too. I think three out of the last five in the series has gone under. I agree with what Q said. You know, is the coach just done? Like, is he, hey, I'm ready to go to Florida. I mean, that might be, Kiffin might be ready to do that. I don't know. I agree, too. This is not what Nick just said. This Ole Miss team just not firing really good overall. I like this. Jack it up 6 more points and take the under, boys.
All right, Duke, Miami. This is one that I think we've seen Miami kind of escape death several times this season. Duke is a pretty salty team. They took SMU to the wire last week. I like the Blue Devils here. The numbers back it up. My spread's Miami minus 19. Parker's projections have Miami minus 13.42. Do you want any part in backing the Blue Devils here, or do you think Miami rolls?
I don't know, so I'm just staying away. What Miami team shows up, they played some pretty undisciplined football. They looked slow against Florida State. They score, but it just seemed like that was the hardest 36 points of maybe the college football season seen. Duke, I can't get a read on them. Like, I know they're good defensively with Manny Diaz, but offensively, I just can't. Sometimes they look good. Sometimes they struggle. I don't know where my mind takes me in this game, so it's just kind of stay away and kind of look back and say, oh, was this Duke team legit, or is Miami just bound to drop a game?
Manny Diaz revenge game. Nick, what are you doing?
Yeah, him and Cristobal do not like each other. But yeah, I'm staying away from this one. I mean, you had Miami last week in that rivalry game against Florida State struggle a little bit in the first half and kind of pulled away. Just talent kind of took over. Duke forced 6 turnovers last week against SMU and still lost. So it's like, how fraudulent are they really? So I'm staying off this. I could see Miami just kind of sleepwalking through this one, knowing that they're going to win in the end. I could see it anywhere between like a 14 to 20 point game, or they go off and just blow them out. So I'm staying away. Too many outcomes are possible here for me.
Smitty.
Yeah, I've been on this Miami team. I've been, especially with the overs in this. I have not played this game yet. It's probably going to make my card. It's a noon game, right? Correct? Noon?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, sometimes those are a little sleepwalking. I agree with Q. I mean, I was on the over last week with Miami in the Florida State game, and I agree with Q. I thought it was very just sleepy, and then they picked it up, and it just fell a little short, I think, at 50 points, and I had it at 54.5. It's 8-1-1 the last 10 in the overs with Miami. Like you guys said, Manny Diaz, let's go. But you know the higher-ups that forced him out and brought in, you know they want an ass-whipping. I could see this being high scoring. And again, Heisman, let's get Cam Ward gunning the ball a little bit. Might happen again. Throw those points. I think they could throw on some late touchdowns just to make it ugly. Keep an eye on that over, or maybe keep an eye on that team points for Miami.
Against that 6th ranked pass defense and success rate for Duke, we will see. I like 21.5 with Duke, bought it up, laid -130 to get over that key number with the hook. The highlighted game of the week, also a noon game. This is terrible. Number 4, Ohio State traveling to Penn State to take on the number 3 Nittany Lions. Something's got to give in this one. Somebody's got to win a big game. If they could both lose, I would like that, but we can't in college football, so here we are. Do you trust Ryan Day in this big spot with Penn State getting their quarterback, Drew Aller, back? It appears that he will start on Saturday.
First off, I hate that this game's at noon. It should always be Penn State's whiteout, and it should always be prime time, a 7 to 8 o'clock game. This is the scheduling department.
Good take.
I mean, I'm right about that, and I hate that I'm probably going to be right about this next pick. I think this is the year State Penn takes down Ohio State. Ryan Day sometimes drops the ball. I know it's Penn State with James Franklin. They did show me a lot going on the road, coming back down 17 from USC. I just think with Will Howard, I don't know. He's kind of dropped the ball a little bit the last couple weeks. I think Aller's legit in comparison to Clifford. I think the backup, you got to get him in some packages. He looked pretty good. I think the Nittany Lions are the side to take, +3.5, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win the game.
Sean says, I hate to ever agree with Q, but here we are.
I know.
Sean loves teasing college football, by the way. Nick.
Oh, Emmitt Smitty.
Oh, man. I knew he was a smart guy.
No, I'm being sarcastic. He's
back to college football right there. We can buddy up and do it. Let's go.
It is a never B proposition.
Yeah, never
tease. 1-0 last week. And hey, Nick, you didn't do the show last year, buddy. When our little teaser thing, I never missed a teaser one time last year in the show.
This is true. It blew Matt's mind.
Well, you continue to do it. I will never touch them. But, to move forward to this game, yeah, I played the first half under 23.5. I think this is one of those – it's kind of like what I said against Ohio State and Oregon. Didn't pan out that way. But Penn State's not Oregon. I think this is going to be kind of feeling each other out in the first half. Two offenses that are really struggling. Aller might be – I know he's playing, they say, but how, like, on that ankle, like, what is his status really going to be? Ohio State, with two starting tackles, moving their left guard over to left tackle, and now facing possibly the best defensive line in the country, that's not good for points. So I took the first half under. I don't want to lay – I know Smitty laid the full game. I was just against the full game because if this kind of gets out of hand one way or another, and then one of the teams starts throwing it more, I don't trust either quarterback not to throw a pick six or turn it over and put another team like in good scoring position right away. So I took the first half. And quickly, Matt knows the answer to this. Q, Smitty, how many passes over 20 yards has Penn State attempted in the first quarter of this season?
Zero.
Not completed, not even completed, just attempted. They have not attempted a pass over 20 yards in the first quarter. They just try to run it.
They go slow. They just run it.
Yeah, they go slow. So I'm going to assume they do the same thing here and just try to stay close and turn it into a second half game. So first half under was my play.
Now, Nick, I'll say this just before Smitty goes. Tell me Ohio State doesn't know that, and you wouldn't be surprised if Penn State comes out with a deep bomb the first pass.
I would be surprised.
You would?
Like this is, yeah, I mean.
I think Franklin's too conservative.
Yeah.
I think you got to take the shot. If that's all you do.
I would.
Go but, out. Like, you either complete or you don't. It's like you got to do something different.
I would do it. You talk about people like James Franklin, Kirk Ferentz should have done that a long time ago too. Like, some of these coaches just refuse to open the playbook. They're so scared of turnovers, they'd rather go 3-and-out and punt.
Yeah.
I also think I heard Ohio State is down to their third string left tackle. So I think pressure could get on Will Howard. Real quick, Ken says, I think this is Penn State's best chance to beat Ohio State there at home. It should be a night game, but that atmosphere is electric. This is it. If Franklin can't win, he won't ever win. Smitty, what are you doing here?
Yeah, you know, I agree with Nick. I mean, it was tight. This did make my card. You'll see it in a little bit. I did play the – the game under. I love the first half under too. I think he's spot on, and that it was going to be the first half or game. I went with the game, but yeah, I agree. You know what? This game's bigger for Ohio State because if they lose, that's their second loss. And this is the team that they brought in all these people. How much money did they spend on this team?
Oh, I'll they're like a NFL team. They were the Yankees.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if he doesn't win this one, Ryan Day, I know, you know, all these people, oh, he wins. Well, he doesn't win big games. And all that money they spent on this team, they better win this game. I think the pressure is on Ohio State. Now, again, I agree with the quarterback situation. Hey, Trace McSorley 2.0, as we refer to him, maybe came in. He played great against Wisconsin last week, you know, too. And it's just the offensive line's a mess. I mean, last week against Nebraska, you know, they beat Nebraska 21-17. They couldn't run the ball. Both their running backs, one, Kins had 29, Henderson had 25. They couldn't run the ball at all. Now, Penn State, again, Singleton caught some balls last week, but coming off injury, he hasn't been as explosive. I think you'll see a lot of Allen in this game. I think it's lower scoring. I mean, you look, I broke down their defense, Ohio State. They've given up 6-0, 14, 7, 7, 32 to Oregon, and then 17 last week to Nebraska. I just think this is a slow-paced game. I think it's going to be just slow, slow, slow. And one of these coaches, they're going to win one of the big games here. I mean, they're going to finally get a big win here. So, and I think this is the game Penn State has to have it. They brought the offensive coordinator from Kansas for a situation like this. So I wanted to stay off the, I didn't know what team because both coaches kind of laying eggs. So let's just go slow pace and hopefully it's a low scoring game.
Nick, I just all right. jumped in with you.
Moving on.
Attaboy.
The one that does not make any sense to me, Vanderbilt, extremely undervalued still by the books. We've got them minus 4.77 to win this game outright. I like Vanderbilt plus 7.5. Try to talk me out of it. Q. Diego Pavia, 10-2-1 against the spread. Credit to Tim Murray for that. Pavia's 2-0 straight up against Hugh Freeze with wins at New Mexico State against Liberty and Auburn last year, 31-10. Diego Pavia is legit. It's about time odds makers start acting like it with these lines.
I played it with you. I know Vanderbilt's 5-3 earlier in the week. I thought maybe, hey, this is where the season kind of falls apart. That last week loss kind of killed him. But then again, he owns Hugh Freeze. Matt, you kind of talked me into it. He's still playing for something. You know, get him bowl eligible. They can still go. You know what, 9-3 if they went out. So that would be huge for the program. I took them plus 7.5 as well.
Nicky?
Yeah, I believe it's 84-20 that he's outscored Hugh Freeze in the two games, which is crazy. Yeah, I'm on it with both of you guys. I did it a little bit different. I split my units. I put 0.7 units on the plus 7.5 as like a security blanket, and then 0.3 on plus 250 on their money line. I think that's sort of the thing. It's like, it's either Auburn is better than we think or they're not, which means if Auburn is just as good as they played against Kentucky last week, they also played pretty well in the first half against Missouri 2 weeks ago, then okay, I'll eat it. If not, if Vandy's just more talented and better this year like we think and Pavia keeps playing well, then they're the better team. And I'll take a short bit of money line, add a little security blanket to it. So, yeah, I have plus 7.5 and then plus 250 on the money line.
Toddy.
Yeah, no play for me. I'll let you guys go at this one. I did hear on one show, I can't remember who said it. They said maybe there were some rumors that Pavia is a little nicked up. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, at the end of the game last
week. Yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
Okay. Too. Yeah. I did see some people, they do like this, Auburn's in some money line parlays with some people. They've thrown those in, but it's no play for me. I'll let you guys go after this one.
You got to dabble. It's like a frat party. You try everything.
Man, I look like Casper the Ghost.
Yeah.
That light is just blinding me over here.
He's sick of this play.
There we go. Oh, look, it's Copey. What's up, Cope? Glad you're here.
Is that a Vegas? All right.
Florida, Georgia, not the band, but this line is getting out of hand here. I think it's up to 15. Q, Where's that Florida Gators helmet? You going to be wearing it or burning it this weekend? Well, do you give them a shot? Do you give them a shot?
Yeah, I think they cover the spread. I texted you guys the score last night. I think it's 31-17. I think, and I've said it all year long, this is Georgia's worst team out of the last 5 years. I think Florida's defense has played really well. They're coming off – both teams are coming off a bye. Obviously, that helps with injuries and things like that. But whatever Florida's done on the defensive side, it sounds like it was a lot of communication issues the last year and then half of this season. But it seems like they've got it figured out since they moved Ron Roberts up into the booth. Things have been going a lot smoother, getting plays in. I think they give Georgia maybe a little more of a fit defensively as people are giving them. Offensively, I think DJ is going to struggle a little bit, but I think then at the second half, he's going to be able to, you know, score a couple touchdowns. So I took the under in this game, as you'll see later, but I also think Florida can stay within the spread and lose by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I haven't played anything yet. I have an alert set on line movement, hoping it gets to 14. Still a lot of 14.5s out there. I think it started at what, 17.5? And now it's come down to 16.5. So it's come down to 14.5. I doubt the books give us a chance at 14 because I'm sure just sharps will just hammer that as soon as it touches it. But it's a good thing about having an alert on. Hopefully I'm the first one to it and can hit it. Also might check the price and see what just to buy that half point is. I think Georgia just kind of rolls here. I think coming off that game against Texas, they got the momentum back. Carson Beck has been kind of the reason why they've struggled lately. I don't think Florida's secondary is really good enough to cause those turnovers like Texas did and like some of the other opponents Georgia's already played. Also, don't trust DJ Lagway against a Kirby Smart defense. Like we saw what Quinn Ewers looked like. He was seeing ghosts and was so confused last week. And now you have DJ Lagway, who's in his third or fourth start of his college career, facing a Kirby Smart defense. I think if anything, I don't think Florida can score much here. I think Georgia ends up pulling away late and probably wins by 20-24.
Yeah, no play yet for me on this one. My aunt just left my house. She's flying back down because she's going to the game tomorrow. So she was really excited. Florida fan. So hopefully they play well for her and everybody. But I think Georgia will run the ball a little bit. I think then Beck, you know, big thing with him, he's thrown a lot of interceptions this year. You know, you got to limit that a little bit. And I have said, I think Florida has played extremely hard over the last couple weeks, especially with this just brutal schedule. But I think Georgia is going to be too much. I think they'll run the ball. Then Beck will make some throws. And I think they pull away late.
All right, moving along, you've got the number one team in the land, Oregon, taking on the Michigan Wolverines. Todd, do your Wolverines have any shot in this one?
Well, it's been a long time. I saw a stat. It's been like since the 80s that they beat a number one team. This, I don't know. I they got a win last week. I just – best shot, I would say, if you like Michigan, is maybe first half. If they can just come out and the crowd can be into it a little bit. And, you know, I think some of these West Coast teams flying in, like Big Ten, they've struggled a little bit. But they couldn't run the ball last week. That was one thing that was really shocking. Mullins didn't get it going. Edwards didn't get it going. They brought Orgy. I think Orgy actually played running back a little bit and did. He had the better numbers. They're going to have to do some trick plays like they did last week. Edwards got paid and threw it for a touchdown. Loveland has to have a big game. Defense, I think they can slow them down slightly. I know a lot of people are jumping on Michigan. It has not been a play for me yet on this. I hope they keep it competitive, but I just don't know how they're going to score a lot of points.
Insider line makes it Oregon minus 17.5. Parker's projections have Oregon minus 14.2. Ken said, I'm the biggest Michigan fan there is. But I don't see any chance they win or cover. I agree. I bought Oregon down to minus 13.5 to get another of the 2 touchdowns. Dan Lanning, for as much crap we gave him for not covering games or team totals in the beginning of the season, he's 3-0 ATS now. The offense is rolling. There's a reason why Dylan Gabriel, a.k.a. Bo Nix, number two, check down Charlie, whatever you want to call it. They're grooving right now. The defense, we know they're pretty decent too. Just don't see how Michigan's going to score points. Q?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think buying it down under the two touchdowns is the play here. I think it's the only play. Other than that, I don't really have anything. I mean, I think it's pretty well documented. Michigan's a one-dimensional offense. Oregon knows that. They're just going to load the box up and then make them throw it. And I don't think Michigan has anybody that can do that. So, yeah, take the Ducks to cover, buy it down.
Nick, close this out.
Another one I have an alert on. I'm trying to get 7 in the first half for Oregon. Right now it's 7.5, so we'll see. Because the actual line has been coming down too, so maybe we get that first half line to come down as well. Also thinking first quarter, it's Oregon minus 3.5. That gives you an Oregon touchdown, 15 minutes for Oregon to score a touchdown. And do we think Michigan can get any more than a field goal in 15 minutes? Like, nothing so far has shown me that. So I might be on that first quarter minus 3.5 for Oregon as well. So might have to get a little cute with this one. Oregon's just been shutting it down in the second half lately. Like, we saw what they just pummeled Illinois at home in the first half last week and then just went into cruise control. Same thing against Purdue 2 weeks ago when they were on the road, made the same flight basically. So I could see the same thing happening here. Like, Michigan's offense just isn't good enough for them to feel threatened. So I'm not sure they really, like, ever really put it into full gear. I think first half they try to pull away, make it comfortable, and then just cruise through the second half.
All right. Iowa State, Texas Tech, welcome to the show. This may be the first time we've covered Iowa State here, but they are 7-0, number 11 with Rocco Beck, one of the coolest names for a quarterback. Is this a legit 7-0 team, though? Do you think they take care of business against the Red Raiders? Lay in 13.5. The line for us is 15.5. Parker's projections are 13.6. I've not watched but maybe one half of Iowa State all season long, and it was at the beginning of the year. Are the Cyclones real? Hugh?
Iowa State had a bye week last week, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think they bounced back. They really struggled. Who was that?
UCF.
Yeah, even if they won the game, they struggled. It didn't look very Iowa State. Texas Tech is on the opposite end. Like, they started off as a really good team. They were moving the ball. They had a couple – somewhat decent wins, and they've just fallen off. I think I took them the last 2 weeks, and they've kind of shit the bed. So I think Iowa State, coming off the bye, has had 2 weeks to prepare for Texas Tech. I think they can win by more than two touchdowns. I think Texas Tech, sorry, Ryan Hyatt, I think they're just trending down, and they're going to catch their fourth loss in Ames, and they're not even going to cover.
Nick?
Rocco Becht is real. The whole Iowa State team, that's still to be – like, shown. Their schedule hasn't really been a whole lot to write home about. I'm looking here at the team total for Iowa State. I don't know if I want to lay 14. Texas Tech can kind of score, but they can't stop scoring. 34.5 for Iowa State. Their offense has been better. This hasn't been your typical kind of Iowa State just run the ball down people's throat and try to win 13-10. Weather's supposed to be fine. That was the first thing I looked at, knowing it was in Ames. So we'll see. That's kind of where I'm leaning on this. I haven't played it yet. 34.5 is – it was juiced to minus 130 is why I kind of haven't touched it. But that's kind of where I lean. I think Iowa State probably wins. It's going to be – might be right around a 14-point game, right around where that spread is. I think the play here might be just Iowa State to score and just leave it at that.
Yeah, no play for me yet, but I kind of agree with Nick there. I think this is a Texas Tech team that – they can score points. They're just coming off a really tight loss last time. They've won the last two meetings in this series, but their defense, I think, gives up like 36 points a game. They really can't, they can't stop anybody. So it's a no play for me right now, but I think that's good for the audience right there if you want to jump into this one, because I kind of agree. I think Texas Tech can score. That's a bigger spread, but I think Iowa State will be able to throw some points on this defense.
Interestingly enough, this may be one where – if the dog is high scoring in the first quarter, 10th ranked Texas Tech in points forced in the first quarter, 73rd for Iowa State. I feel like we could have a 7-7 game at the end of one. That may be a first quarter play for the over for me. Moving on, Pitt at SMU. SMU got the scare last week against Duke, but they are back and in Dallas. I love SMU here. I think outside of BYU, I know they're not undefeated. Well, yeah, they are still undefeated. Pitt may be one of the fakest undefeated teams there is. And I think SMU gets right here. Kevin Jennings has got to limit the turnover. The turnovers that he had last week, but I feel like against a Pitt defense that 62nd in pass defense success rate, I feel like they're going to be able to move the ball. Talk me out of it, Q.
No, I'm with you. I think Pitt gets their first loss on the road here. I think SMU, both are high-powered. Holstein's playing from what it sounds like, but he's a little banged up. I think both teams are pretty similar. Defensively, sometimes they look great, sometimes they don't. Offensively, they've looked pretty solid all year with the exception of one game, but I think SMU at home is the difference maker here.
Toddy, or Nick, sorry.
I can't touch it until I find out Kevin Jennings' status. From what I'm hearing, there's a chance he's not playing in this one, which kind of changes everything. So for me, I can't touch this. SMU, if he plays and is like he's good enough where they'll beat Pitt, I believe. I mean, if they didn't lose last week with turning the ball over six times, then I think they'll handle Pitt. So wait to see Kevin Jennings' status is what I would do, and then probably get that 7 with SMU because I think they're that much better than Pitt is. Pitt's a little bit fraudulent to me.
Pete Thamel did post 9 hours ago, SMU quarterback Kevin Jennings has been cleared medically for the top 20 clash with Pitt this weekend and will start for the Mustangs on Saturday night, Coach Rhett Lashley told ESPN.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, home teams, you know, when both teams are ranked, I think it's hitting like 60% home teams cover the spread since, I think, 2017. So, yeah, both quarterbacks are banged up. You know, Stone, the backup for SMU, used to be the starter. I mean, if he can't go, I think he could still do a pretty good job. You know, it was weird. I had Pitt last week, team points I gave out on social media, and their offense really didn't do much. It was just they intercepted the ball every time and ran back for touchdowns. It was fantastic. So, but I think Pitt's in a tough spot here. I think SMU is a lot better team. I think I would play SMU. And again, if you like those teasers, what a great teaser spot. Get it down to -1 and let's match it up with somebody else. And maybe I'll do that. And you'll nice little surprise Saturday morning.
Okay. Moving on. Quick.
Grissom, quick, you know, commercial. You love it, buddy. You know, you love it. Let's
quick
go.
Commercial for home field apparel. And then we will get into our best bets. And maybe another teaser for Todd. I don't know. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Home Field has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these six games.
And I just got my home field apparel gear in just in time for the Arkansas Razorback game tomorrow, as my wife will be donning her Tennessee shirt. Because it's what we've done now. All right, Q, go through your picks.
I said earlier, Vanderbilt +7.5. Diego Pavia owns Hugh Freeze. See if he can get a third straight win on him. Nebraska Navy moneyline parlay. Best bet. Navy bounces back. Was it six turnovers? Very uncharacteristic. I think quarterback play gets back on schedule. Nebraska played tough last week. I think they can bounce back. They are 5-3, I believe. This win should get them bowl eligible. I think they get it at home against UCLA, who's like 2-5 this year. And then the Florida-Georgia under, again, 31-17. I think Florida's defense is going to be able to hang slightly. I say that the ever so slightest. I know Carson Beck is – hey, I like it.
Old slobber hob.
I don't know. I think like you said, Nick, DJ's not going to be able to do too much. But I think towards the end of the game, they'll be able to sneak in another touchdown and still keep it within the under.
And Nick.
Yeah, I already mentioned the Ohio State, Penn State first half under. Absolutely love that play. Iowa this week, great spot. They're at home. They're getting Wisconsin, who is coming off just getting beat down by Penn State. Like, that's rough. Like, that's a tough kind of bounce back game to go from Penn State's defensive line and offensive line straight into Iowa's defensive line and offensive line. This is also in Kinnick Stadium, where Iowa just does not lose in November. I know Cade McNamara is out. Don't care. I think Brandon is better anyways. And he fits their offense better. He's more of a dual threat quarterback. This is the number three rushing offense in the Big Ten. So I think they kind of, I think they take care of business in a spot where Wisconsin, like I said, just got beat up last week and now to face a physical Iowa team. So give me Iowa. Memphis, best bet this week. Flying under the radar a little bit, as I mentioned on the other show this morning, this is probably your second or third favorite to get in a group of five team to get in. Like, you're looking at Boise State. If they don't slip up, they're in. Then you're looking at Tulane and Memphis. Memphis has something to play for. They're playing against a UTSA team who is kind of down in the dumps and can't stop anybody from scoring. Memphis, I can see just running it up here. They're finally healthy. I think that's why this line is a little bit lower than expected. So, yeah, Memphis here, -7 is my favorite play of the weekend.
Smitty.
Yeah, let's go Washington. They're at home against USC. USC is not very good on the road, ATS, over the last 2 years. They've been on the road, let's see, a couple times this year. Went to Michigan, they lost. They went to Maryland, they lost. Minnesota, they lost. So, yeah, let's go Washington. I think they can win the game outright. South Carolina, I like where this team, coming off a bye week, quarterback's been playing a little better. And if you look at South Carolina, they've had some really tough losses. Alabama was a close game. LSU was a close game. So, I really, Texas A&M, big win, coming off a good win last week. South Carolina, I think, knows who the quarterback's going to be. So, I think this is a tight, tough game, tight spot here for Texas A&M. I think South Carolina can hang. And then, like we said, I think it's just a slower paced game with Ohio State, Penn State. So, let's get that under 46.5.
Also like that South Carolina play. I used that as one of my contest picks, but my best bet, Arkansas +7.5. Told you why. The home team's won every game in the last 5 years. Sam Pittman, 21-10 ATS, is a dog. And then also did the under. You can get 54 still out there. I bet it at 54.5 for the show purposes. The current line when I made the graphic was 53.5. Still like it. These two teams combined for 8-1 to the under in SEC games. And then Vanderbilt. I'm jumping full, all aboard the Diego Pavia train. I think this team is legit, and the number is still wrong. We cashed against Kentucky. Hopefully we can do it again. And then for some other picks, I did bet Duke +21.5, Indiana -6.5, Tennessee -16, that number is gone. I got it at -110. Tennessee's number one defense in EPA, number five in defensive success rate. We know what Kentucky is. We've seen this offense. I don't think they're going to be able to score. This line is, I think, 17.5, 18 now. Ken, glad you're here, because that's what I just dove right into. Kentucky also 5-1 to the under in SEC games. Tennessee's 4-0. To the under in SEC games. So this is going to be an under 45.5 play for me as well. As always, you can check collegefootballinsiders.com. Click on our bet tracker there. Fellas, go through any other plays y'all want to touch on quick.
I jumped on Nick's first half under in the Penn State game. And then I did take the Virginia Tech Syracuse over 53.5. I think both teams can score. I think Kyle McCord bounces back from an abysmal performance. What is that? Four picks, three of them pick sixes against Pittsburgh. Like, I don't think it can get any worse. But I think Virginia Tech's going to be able to score against them too. One of the better running teams in the country. Syracuse, one of the worst defensive teams against the rush in the country. So I think there's points to be had by both teams in a noon shootout.
Nick?
The other ones I haven't mentioned have Louisiana Monroe +10.5. They're facing a Marshall team. A lot of
people like that play.
Yeah, they're facing a Marshall team that I think is very overrated. Louisiana Monroe beat James Madison already. Traveled on the road, like they've been pretty well as a road dog. So, yeah, 10.5, I think, is way too many points, especially in a game with a total, I think, is set like 46. So I don't really see this being a blowout one way or another. So, yeah, I think 10.5 is just too much. So on that one with Louisiana Monroe, under 53.5 with Coastal and Troy. This isn't your normal Chadwick offense with Coastal. They're playing extremely slow. So is Troy. Numbers just too high. And then Clemson team total over 36.5. Their defense has been struggling a little bit, especially since they're like their schedule. They're playing. They haven't played a team with an above record of like a record above 500 since Georgia. Defense still giving up 20 something points a game. Their offense though has been clicking, and I think they'll continue to be good against Louisville. Louisville and Brom are going to try to be up tempo. They know that's how they will need to turn us into a shootout to win. So I think there's going to be a lot of possessions in this game. Trust the Clemson offense more than I do to cover a spread, which I think is 10.5 or 11 right now. So Clemson team total over 36.5.
Smitty.
Northwestern plus one. They're 5-1 straight up, 6-0 ATS against Purdue. I think it's going to be a good, ugly Big Ten game. And you know I like those ugly Big Ten games. I like that. And I jumped on also Air Force plus 22. I know they're 0-7 ATS. Army's like 6-0-1, I think, ATS. And they're just – but I think this coming off a bye, this is a big game for them. Just with the service academies, the dog's been the trend in this. You know, and again, I think Navy's done a little bit more, like changing it up a little bit than Army. So I know Air Force can't score a lot of points. I need an ugly one. I need an ugly one with that. But I have a couple more marked down. You know, tonight I'd like to find something. Dogs are 14-5 this year, so they're really barking on Friday night. So let's try to find something there.
And then I completely skipped over this graphic that I made. But number 10, Texas A&M taking on South Carolina. As we indicated earlier, Smitty put them in his best bets. South Carolina, letdown spot for A&M here. South Carolina coming off a bye. Tell me why you like South Carolina, Smitty.
Oh, just like I said, I think overall, I think they've played some really tight games. If you look at the LSU game, the Bama game, I think the quarterback's been playing okay. The atmosphere should be electric. You know, hopefully the great legend Steve Tannehill is going to have a great night down there partying and everything. I just think this one's tight. I think it's a good spot. A&M's coming off a big win. You know, I think, and again, I know they're undefeated, and I think the SEC play, and they – I just think – the quarterback switch was big last week in that game. I think we've been saying over the last couple of weeks that I think it's Reed. He should be the quarterback. He's the better quarterback there, but I think they'll be ready. I think it's a tight game. Hopefully, you know, the 3 points, but I think South Carolina could also get the win in this straight up.
Yeah. South Carolina's just been in so many close games. They can't get it done though. Sean, do we have any hate any of these for Survivor? So I initially picked Mississippi State, then I switched it to Army because I don't know if I can trust Mississippi State against UMass.
Fresno State, aren't they? They're hosting Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, and Hawaii's always weird too.
Hawaii sucks coming to the mainland.
Yeah, true.
I think Fresno.
I don't think you can go wrong with any of them, but like I said, I had Mississippi State, switched it to Army. Feel better Miami about Army getting it done.
It's spread, right? It's spread Survivor.
No, it's just win straight up.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
He had Kansas State on that list.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are they playing again?
That'd be the one I'm most concerned about. Would be probably Kansas State on that list.
Who are they playing?
It's I was just looking at this earlier this morning too.
Houston. On the road.
No, that's right. Yeah.
No, I think they bounce back.
I think they take care of business. They played
horrible against Kansas. I think they get right.
I think they're okay in that one. Yeah. I think all those games. I don't know, Sean. They all look pretty good. I think they all.
Sean, just get weird. Bet Northwestern or somebody that's just minus one. Gross ball. Yeah. Yep. All right.
Purdue at the 2.5.
Oh,
Boilermakers.
1-6. Oh, yeah. Purdue Boilermakers. No thanks. All right, for Q, Nick, Todd, and myself, thank you guys. Good luck this weekend. Cash some tickets. We'll see you next week.